three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff wraps it up.
See what we do. See what we say. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this Tuesday, 8th of November, about 10:30 on the East Coast. Joseph here. Andrew will make himself known in a second. Interesting times. We're coming into the FIBA break, so the next load of games are not until, I believe, November 17. So we're going to look at the gap between then and what's coming up. On this episode, we're talking about, obviously, Randall. He's been cut by the 36ers. We're talking that. We're talking Wildcats, Melbourne and Southeast Melbourne, Manic, imports moving, Xavier Cooks' injury, bunch of different things. We're really, as we said, we're going to see what we say and go where we go or whatever it was. But right now, Andrew Canyon.
Yeah, hey, Joe. Yeah, we were just workshopping sort of ideas. What we're going to talk about, and it's, yes, see what we do, see what we say. And that was sort of, somebody asked us last week if some of our little jibes and commentary about the different cars and the things we've come up with and automatic transmissions. They said, did you guys pre-plan that or is that all just ad lib? No, my friends, that's just us ad-libbing. So we come in with a loose framework of what we're going to say, but all the in the moment comments that we come up with, that is all just ad lib. It's one of the exciting things about the NBL Pocket Podcast that it's not heavily scripted. You might never know what we might say.
And neither do we. And here's the thing. In that spirit, the stuff that's good is kind of just made up on the spot. And also, if we make a gaffe, we're talking from the seat of our pants here.
Nobody shoots 100%.
Nobody, not even us. And not even Craig Randall, who we're going to talk about in a second. Before we do that, Patreon. First of all, a big thank you to the people who are patrons. I think the number sits at about 28, which is that's mind-blowing for us.
It's wonderful. And thank you, 28 people. You are wonderful, and we do appreciate it, and it motivates us to keep going.
It is. They don't get a lot. It's more of just a good bonhomme, the French, fellowship. But we do appreciate it a great deal. It helps pay for the costs on this show, which aren't great, but it definitely aren't sizable, but it definitely helps with that. You were saying, Andrew?
No, it's all right. I just had something. Speaking about unplanned and unstructured and things to talk about, we should probably just tease something a little bit at the, in the intro here. Keep an eye out for those listeners who are in Perth, because NBL Pocket Podcast might have a little surprise coming your way in a little while.
Hear that. Hear me now.
We're doing some things. We're planning some things. So
the socials.
Keep an eye out in Perth.
At Andrew Canyon, at NBL Pocket Pod. It's worth your time. Also, shout out to, we were talking just before, there are so many podcasts on the NBL, each better than the last. We've got Throwback Hoops, who we've known for a long time. Woody and Rob do a great job.
Yep.
The Sports Blokes do a great job. They do, they do sports. They do more than just the NBL. No less than the NBL, no more than everything else. And then you've got, gosh and bother, ESPN's Ball in the Real World, NBA Today. Every three times a week.
NBL Today.
NBL Today. I don't want to forget anyone. Who else?
I'm checking my own subscriptions because, I try to listen to them all.
Brad and Body.
It was Brad and Body. There's NBL News.
NBL News, yep.
There's Shooting the Breeze.
More WNBL, which is great. So if you're into that, people, if you're in there and you want to kind of dip your toe in there or you missed a game or whatever.
There's a Backchat basketball show.
There you go.
There's just so many of them.
And when we started this, there was one or two, but very few. Now there's heaps, and it's really good to see. And I really like NBL Today. I think that's a really good idea.
Yep.
10, 15 minute episodes, 2-3 times a week. Really good idea. Really, really good from the NBL. And then the other one is the new one.
Another one.
Whew. And these are two guys who I'm going to use the word admire. I really admire the way they speak and how they... Worthington and Anstey, they've got one called Has Been Hoops. I'm actually reaching out. The way they've released it is peculiar. They're not on Apple. I can't find them. They're like, we've released the episode. I'm like, fellas, I can't find it. So if they hear this or through the grapevine, get in touch. And I'd love to, if nothing else, just set them on the path to a wider release.
Share the links.
Yeah,
it's funny. When I was at the Perth game, recently, and I saw both of those guys. They were there.
Nice.
Wurtho and Anstey, and they were just walking ahead of me. And I didn't interrupt them or say good day or anything. Just left them to it. But if I'd known that they were going to be releasing a new podcast, I would have spear tackled them.
Mm.
More competition. Who needs that?
Well, I actually think it's good. The more that because they'll bring people to it that look around. I don't know, but I just really like what they had to say. I loved Worthington on yep. But here's the thing: Anstey writes for Sports Bet one. But Anstey, the funny thing is, writes for Code Sports sometimes. So I'm like, why aren't they releasing it through them? And I just don't get it sometimes. So fellas, reach out and let's help you. And because the process is easy, you'll do it more often and you'll maintain it for longer. And instead of just joining the graveyard of podcasts, there's so many that just die. It happens.
And may a rising tide lift all boats, including the boat of NBL Pocket Podcast, with a special thanks to those patrons who continue to stick around and support us when they have all these other options to listen to. But we have the advantage of being entirely, well, relatively unofficial.
If you don't take the money, they can't tell you what to do.
That's right.
But yeah, you're right. A rising tide lifts all boats. So fellow seamen, let's rush over and take a peep through the porthole and scrub the poop deck.
We're on the SS Cuck. Let's get going.
All right, Craig Randall. I'll leave a time code so people can skip all that shite if they want to and get straight to that. Randall. Craig Randall II, cut by Adelaide. Wow. Doesn't totally surprise me, but does surprise me at the same time. He was their leading scorer. I think second or third highest scorer in the league. Boy, first question. Were you surprised, Andrew?
No, not surprised. I'm.
My reaction was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
not completely.
I admire the Adelaide 36ers for having the balls to do it. That's really what I'm going to say. Like that, it takes guts to axe somebody who you could say is their best player. I'm not saying he is, but you could make the argument that he was their best. And for them to say, no, I'm sorry, you don't fit what we're trying to build here, that's pretty good. And I think that sends a message right through an organization of like, hey, like if he can get cut, we can get cut. Let's do the right thing. Mm. And I think well done. Adelaide 36ers, whether the decision was CJ's or the owners, what's his name?
Grant Kelly.
Grant Kelly, Vicinity Centres guy. Well done. And it's the best organisational thing I've seen Adelaide 36ers do in a while. I think they're on a path to recovery.
Let's just add some framework here for people. So Craig Brown, this guy was averaging about 20.3 points per game, 40% from the outside. I mean, he won that game in Sydney. That they their only good win of the year. They haven't beaten another good team. They've beaten Illawarra twice and Sydney, and then just been battered by everybody else, including a real struggling Wildcats just recently. We'll talk about that. Olgan Ulich, I saw a clip of his on Twitter, and I really liked what he had to say. He made a good point. There, last season during COVID, or perhaps the season before, there was 100-plus hardship contracts given out to the G League. Randall was not one of them, despite playing at a high level in the G League. I really liked the way he put that. Mm-hmm. And Olgan's got this beautiful voice, almost Shakespearean. Randall. I love it.
It is. Yeah.
I really, he's had vocal training, I can tell. But I really like the way he put it. And it was a risk signing him. I'll ask this simple question. Are they worse or better without him?
They are. They have less ability to score the ball, but they're better. Because I think
I don't know how you could possibly say that.
Because they're going to be better defensively because he never really put much effort in on that end of the court.
Are you sure? I mean, Brady Manick just went off for 25. Grant Randall would never have been guarding him. That's on Franks. That's on Johnson. And with Randall gone, nothing changes.
Okay.
I think they're worse. But sorry, I'm interrupting.
No. It's fair enough to say. And they might be worse. But, like, is everybody in the job going to be happier? Are you going to have a happier team? Better camaraderie. You know, I'm all about the camaraderie and I can't remember. There's that French thing. You go, joy, not that one. Joy de vivre, or whatever. I don't know. Look it up. Google it.
Oh, that was a question. That was no, I can't help you there, pal. You're on your own.
Fine. Anyway,
yeah.
I think they'll be happier, and I think that will manifest itself on the court.
Is this a knock on CJ Brute, either recruiting or coaching or both?
Nah. I reckon it's good. Like, he had a crack. They're like, we reckon we can sort this young fella out. CJ's seen a thing or two. He's been around the traps. He's like, I can guide him onto the path of goodness and light. And then it got 3 months in, he's like, no, if that, I can't do it. Let's get him out of here.
I have a different approach.
Okay.
I think it is a condemnation of Bruton, and here's why. First of all, in his recruiting, you know, like, it's not always bad to make a change mid-season. A lot of teams have made the change and gone on to win it. Sydney last year, they had Hunter and then they got in Clark, didn't they? Or was that the year before?
No, that was last year. Yep.
And then obviously Plumlee, Wildcats. It's happened a bunch of times. Yep. A bunch of times. This is different where also I criticize, we're coming into the FIBA break.
Mm.
And I feel like they forced Randall into this, or at least I'll be honest. I think Bruton forced us into this. Randall's ambition is obviously to play in the NBA.
Correct.
They're like, they say to him, we're going to bench you against Perth. As a guy gunning for the NBA, you can't really have that on you. You cannot be a full-time starter in a non-league. That was a red rag to a bull. My thought was, why wouldn't you just start him? Continue on, bite your lip a little bit, get to the FIBA window, and then you go, hey, we got 2 weeks away from the court to potentially mend this thing and keep a guy on our team who's been shooting it like crazy. And they've been losing a lot of games, but not off the strength of Craig Randall. You know, you got this team doesn't play defense. They're the worst defensive rating in the league, and they've played Illawarra twice. Yes. So I just think this, I think that Randall was thrown to the bench. And he's gone, I can't come off the bench. And they're like, well, okay. Well, if you can't do that, you can't play here. I just don't like it. I think he's a young kid. If you thought
he's
you could
not
bring
that
him
young,
in
a, isn't he like 26?
I don't know, actually. I probably should have looked at that before. But nonetheless, you brought him in knowing there's a checkered history. This was all part of it. What was your plan? Was this your plan? Just 36 is when it got rough to cut him?
I think they rolled the dice. They said, this guy's got supreme talent, and it's sure he may have some questionable history. You know, didn't work out in the G League, but at the same time, you say it's the G League, right? In that thing, everybody's just out for themselves. You're not building a great team in the G League, so maybe you write that off as just, you know, all the guys trying to make it.
Mm.
So you're like, well, okay, let's bring him in. Let's make this work. And maybe there was some problems early on. They said, okay, we can continue to massage it. He's still playing well. He's still scoring the ball. So we'll keep on with it. And then I think there comes a point where you've just got to, you can't be a doormat. You know, like an organization's bigger than any one individual. And if that individual is not going to buy into the organization, then you've got to say goodbye. Otherwise, you know, bad apple rots the whole crate. You know?
I think, but there is, I mean, I've spoken to players and assistant coaches now who say, like, sometimes it's good to galvanize around a coach you hate or a player you hate. And, you know, if you can't have everybody on the same page in the total three musketeers, all for one, one for all, sometimes it's quite easy to galvanize 9 guys against one or a coach. And this might sound ridiculous, but, you know, the Wildcats that won that title in the early 90s hated each other, hated, won the title. You know, sometimes it's a bit interesting. What I'll say is, though, is this team, Adelaide 36ers, is not a good team because they don't do the things a good coach would or should have a team doing. Defense, rebounding. To put their troubles on Randall, I don't see it on the floor. I can see his troublesome ways. I can. But I can also see where this team's bad objectively for reasons that Craig Randall's. They're bad when he's off the floor. He can't be that cancerous, can he? Can he?
Well, that's the one thing we haven't really gotten to the bottom of, have we? There's been kind of like, oh, he had a tete-a-tete with CJ and an argument here, and he didn't hug his players when they were doing an anthem there. There's a lot of kind of smoke stuff, but we haven't heard the complete, you know, he told everybody to F off and stormed out. You know, it's just, I just feel like we're not getting the full story. We're getting the sanitized version of it.
We'll dig around. people will dig around. But yeah. I was just listening to Joakim Noah on JJ Redick's podcast, and he was just cataloging fights and disputes he's had with everybody, and that was on a winning team. So the only thing I'll say is this, and this is why I ask the question, is it a condemnation of Bruton? Remember Joey Wright? At the very least, when he had his team, they finished 12-16, and he survived a season to win. With this team, Adelaide 36, they're not on track this year to win that many games. Not even close.
Oh, no.
Not quite. And he did that. He persisted that whole year with Eric Griffin.
Yep.
Mental. On the floor, off the floor, turnover machine, bad. Ramon Moore, who was refusing to take the floor, and an aging Jerome Randall, who was changing room assignments and undercutting the entire process all the time. 12-16.
Yeah.
Arguably, CJ Bruton's got a lot more and a lot less to deal with, and they're 3-4 and looking worse.
Can you imagine Joey Wright coaching Randall?
It'd be for the better.
Wouldn't that be fun? Because you know Joey's not going to back down.
No, but I also don't think he'd cut him.
No, I don't think so either. I think he'd be like,
we are in this. If I'm going down, you're going to break my fall type stuff. And I feel like this, well, we'll see what they do. We'll see what they do.
They got to find 20 points now.
I will say this. Yeah, 20 points a game. Or defend for the first time this year. CJ Bruton. Got to hand it to him. Slick as duck shit. Nothing sticks. He handled a really tough presser with poise. He was just, we agreed. And he still had his smile about him. I got to hand it.
Have you ever met his dad? Where do you think? Exactly, yeah, the apple does not fall far from the tree.
Well, let me tell you, our boy looks good on the tube. I will say I've had rumors Randall was butting heads with everyone. Franks and Cleveland and McCarron especially. And by extension of that, CJ Bruton. We all saw that. That was... couldn't even contain. Yeah. There was talk on Twitter, and I really regret not taking down the names of people who suggested this, but if you're listening and you know who you are, thank you for this talking point. There's now talk of Patterson or Walker, the Lamar Patterson.
Lamar Patterson, really?
There was, hey, now Adelaide should sign either Lamar Patterson or Devondrick Walker. Do you think that either of those are a good help?
Like, I certainly wouldn't sign Lamar. It's just too unreliable. Like,
agreed.
Who knows what shape
you
he's
don't
in
need
at this
scoring.
Point.
You don't need scoring at this point.
And that's what Devondrick Walker gives you. He's a 3-point shooter. Do they really need it's a like for like swap? So maybe you could make the argument fair enough, but I think they need to pivot a little. Like the 3-point barrage hasn't worked, so they need to find an ulterior piece. And I think they need to stiffen up inside.
Okay.
But they've already got Soto and Johnson, and how do
Soto,
you fit a big
Johnson
guy in?
And Franks.
And McCarron's been pretty poor this season.
To
so
me, it's 3-D.
Guard.
To me, it's a 3-D guy, but more D than 3.
Cleveland, so he's already doing that.
Flip.
It's awkward.
What you need is a guy who can really score. Oh, hang on, they had that. No. I don't know what to say. They had a good player, and now he's gone. Flip.
Yeah,
I still think they need 3-D. They need someone, because actually once you take Randall off the team, I actually think the court shrinks for them, because you've got McCarron who doesn't really shoot from the outside, Cleveland who hasn't shot particularly well, Franks who does, sure, Johnson a little bit.
Yeah.
But outside of that, it's like Sunday Dech, Drimmy, come on. Ooh, it's getting...
Maybe Devondrick Walker is a good pickup.
Well, not bad, but he's more 3 than D. I think you need more D than 3, but a bit of both. Very Dr. Seuss here. Do you want to move on?
Oh, just let me just have a sip of tea before we consider you and me.
I see. That's enough. Right. Brisbane and Adelaide are apparently in a bidding war for Jalen Adams.
Did you say Brisbane and Adelaide?
Brisbane and Adelaide, the big, the money makers and shakers that are the Bullets in their 3,500 seat stadium in Adelaide.
Okay. Both of them with Australian pseudo point guards at the moment. Mitch McCarron.
Funny. And that is a very keen observation, Ken.
I think either one, well, talked about Adelaide not really understanding what player would be best for them. I think a guy like that certainly isn't going to hurt them.
Oh, Adams is amazing.
So he'll get open shots for anybody. So I think either one would work well. I think he'd be better in Brisbane.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
To Brisbane open the checkbook. But then he's like, well, I'm playing with Baines. They've got NBA eyes on. Does that help me get spotted? You know, do I have a chance at the NBA?
I will say this. Adams and Randall share the same agent.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, that
one,
might not.
Hang up one phone, pick up another.
that is either a positive exchange or a negative one, depending on what the agent's like.
Well, the agent would have a front line on Adelaide what they want.
True.
I mean, Adelaide want a Randall type. There wasn't an issue with the fit with the rotation. It was a fit personality-wise.
But the guy, yeah.
So Adams is the guy, but Adams not going to come cheap. Also, you got to look at this other guy's clients. Randall was the only one in the NBL. All the others were in, you know, European teams. Let's not kid around. Adams is going to get double in Europe what he would in Australia.
Can I just call you now from now on? Can I just call you the agent whisperer? I always have an agent angle on these things.
It's a business. It's a business, man. I'm a businessman and it's a business, man. It's the NBL is a small league. It is very much what you can broker, what you can deal, you know, more than a lot of teams are not really thinking who's the best player. That's who can we afford? Mm. Who's available? Who wants to come? It's very, very.
Yeah. You know who's may not be in the running for Jalen Adams anymore, but they might have recently?
Who's that?
Perth Wildcats.
Okay. Yeah. What do you want to say? You want to say something? I can tell.
I think it's time to talk about Brady Manick, because we haven't done enough talking about Brady Manick recently, have we?
I've got one question here for you, but has your opinion of Brady Manick changed? But you take this conversation where you want to.
Okay. Well, I can answer that question straight away. No, it hasn't.
Neither.
Brady Manick he had a good game. Fantastic. Excellent. He shot the ball. What was it? Was it six threes, right? Yeah,
six or seven or five or six.
Excellent performance. You know, like, but Bryce Cotton on a bad night hit four. So let's keep it in perspective. And it's one good game, and he scored 25 and he got like one rebound or something.
Yeah.
According to the stats. And he probably gave up 10, 15 points just through being outmuscled at the other end.
Yes.
So I think he's plus minus, you know, if you look at it that way, maybe plus 10. Is that enough? I don't think so.
Also, keep it in perspective. He scored points on Adelaide. It's a team that gives up 90 points every time, and we're on the edge of implosion by the sound of it. You had Randall disgruntled in shootout. This was not a healthy team, and the Wildcats just snuck by. And also, Manick, bless him, he got hot. He was wide open on every attempt. It was all just catch and shoot off an Adelaide pick and roll breakdown.
Yep.
Every time. I was so embarrassed for Adelaide watching that game. But no, my opinion hasn't changed either.
I'm saying this is classic fool's gold. It's the David Ware situation comes David in under Ware, pressure.
What a great comparison.
Well, I saw Olgan, I think he mentioned it on Twitter, so he's probably going to say, I said that first, okay. But Olgan, I said that like 2 weeks ago. So just want to clarify that, take ownership of that.
Whoever said it best, because that's what a comparison.
So, yeah, you know, he'll probably – now he's got the next few games to do nothing again, and that's the concern. And
I wanted to ask you this question. Are you, like me, getting the feeling that the Wildcats are not going to do anything?
Yes, I am.
Mm, why?
They just don't seem to have a mind for really going all in. It's like they've done the calculations and they've gone, we don't really want to spend the money.
It was a bit of a disaster last year. Let's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't forget, they would have lost money on that deal. Bringing in Brown, hotel quarantine, Frazier. Oh, no. Yes, no. So the easy option is just to keep Manick around.
And they're not going to be paying him a lot of money.
No, he's their third important at shows. And
I think now they've got a defensible position, because I can say, look at him, he's really coming on.
Yes.
Having said that, just on one other thing about the Perth Wildcats, can somebody teach Corey Webster to pass the ball?
Oh, brutal. Canyon. Careful now.
Watch that game. He's a bit of a black hole.
It works in theory. It's like, okay, Cotton's off. What I'll say is you and I have both been banging on about getting Cotton some rest. Well, he got good rest in the third because Corey Webster. We'll hand it there, but it's a kind of an idea that's working, works really well in the boardroom. And you're like, yeah, we can just sort of play off Webster, bit of pick and roll, by 6 minutes of Cotton on the bench.
Yep.
6 minutes in a row if we want to. But it just, for me, didn't feel good. Boy, oh boy, I didn't like watching it.
No.
For a bunch of different reasons. You know, ball's going out of bounds, ball passing at the very last second, you know, when a shot wasn't available. I half agree with what you, about three quarters of the way agree with what you said.
You know, I was in the kitchen the other night and I was thinking about who would be your all black hole team of the NBL.
Oh, wow.
And I've got two candidates lined up.
Let's hear it.
So Corey Webster, off guard, Kawhi Noi.
Oh, yeah.
Small forward.
Or only modern players.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking in the league now. So they're my first two. And I haven't really thought it through on the rest. It's a bit of a challenge for the listeners.
No one's really jumping out.
Maybe.
Full credit to the NBL. It's not really, not many guys like that who get it and look to go.
Yeah, maybe Randall. He's now out of the league.
People at home,
let us know.
Yeah, All-Star 5 Black Hole. Do indeed. We've got two already. You do the other three. Also, just quite that one, probably should have done it at the top of the show, but for people who are new to the NBL, and I definitely should have done this at the top of the show, but who've stumbled across this for a bit of fun or whatever, or people who are listening and have someone who they want to convert to the NBL, I just want to say I think it's really important. Get people to download the app. And also, I think a really good way to interact with the NBL is to take in one game a week, especially if you're sort of trying to convert someone and get them to watch that midweek game, the one on a Monday or a weekday game, pardon me, Monday or a Thursday. You know, you don't have to give up your weekend, just an evening instead of watching whatever show's on. Watch that one game. Keep your eye on the app so you can kind of see the scores. And maybe taking a pod like this one so you kind of get a bit of shit talk as well. I think every Australian should just pay that slight cursory glance at the NBL. I think that'd be the better for it. Obviously, the league would be much better for it, but also I think people would enjoy that. So I should have said that at the top of the show. Let's jump on here.
Yeah, can we talk a little bit about boomers and what's going on? What this round has done for the boomers who are traveling.
Yeah.
We had Xavier Cooks, the big impact.
Two to four weeks, yeah. Brutal.
Yeah, massively. Massively damaging for the Kings. They're really lucky it's happened in this week off.
I was about to say that he's second in PER. It may not hurt his MVP chances because I think he's in that conversation, but it is lucky as well. Even if it goes prolonged beyond the 4 weeks to, say, six, they do play Illawarra twice in the next month or so after the break. So, but they do have a couple of difficult opponents in between, so it's not the best, not the worst.
Yeah, he's I think that's, but for the Boomers, that's a big out. They're only playing minnows, so they should be fine. Yeah, irrespective of that. But Cooks, he's just playing at such a high level this season. I'm just looking at some of his stats here. You're usually the stats guy, but I'm just taking a look. He's shooting his weakness is his 3-point shooting and probably his free throw shooting. He's shooting 40% from three.
Wow.
On low volume, but he's doing it. 62.5% on twos.
Wow.
But just crazy.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Free throws 46%. So
what, how can you be that bad at free throws?
It's his form. His form. His shooting. It's funky. It's a really weird form. It's kind of ugly. Andrew Gaze would have conniptions watching it. The form is disgusting. It's almost like a two-handed.
But free throws. Even if your form is bad, you would have thought you're shooting enough of them to hit. I think three quarters is you take four, you should make three. That's reasonable. I'm just shocked that he.
I'll go to the park right now and I'll do that. You know, I'm not
sure.
I'm a couple of years off my prime. Just a couple.
So who else for the Boomers? What else has gone on?
Then we got Luke Travis.
Yeah, load management. How peculiar. He's been drafted. The job is done.
I know. And he's a young fella. Like, guy that young, he should just be able to handle, you know, day after day after day. I'm saying that is a that's not true. They want to work some stuff out over this week, and they want him there to figure it out with them.
Oh, you think the Wildcats are doing a few closed sessions?
Yep.
I like that. I love that theory. I think because why would he not go otherwise? Come on.
I know. He's young. He's fit. He's got no injury.
He was going to, you know, like he'd committed. So something's happened in the last week or two to say, no, we've changed our mind.
So I think they're going to sort something out. Does that mean, I don't think it means an import change. I just think it means maybe a re-engineering of what they're doing.
Yeah, totally. Just we're locking down a bit. Good sign in a way. Good sign.
Yeah.
They didn't find
a replacement, did they? The Boomer, because they were talking about, you know, with these sudden outs, they were scouting around to try to see who they can get in the plane as a late replacement. I haven't heard whether they actually found anybody.
I mean, they're only playing the likes of what, Lebanon and the Asia Cup type opponents, right? Am I right when I say that?
Yeah, I can't even remember the countries, but yeah, it's that Middle Eastern
Chinese kind of. Taipei and a few other places.
That's fine. They'll have Todd Blanchfield. Oh, what am I saying? Wildcats must not be cooking something up because they've sent Todd Blanchfield and Mitch Norton. And Mitch Norton wasn't there, but so maybe my little theory is off.
There goes your theory.
Damn it.
It sounded so good for a second.
No. Although maybe
that is,
just,
now that is really weird.
Maybe they're re-engineering without Todd Blanchfield, which might be a benefit the way he's been playing.
Hey now. Okay, let's jump up. I got a question for you, Canyon. And we kind of spoke about this last week, but it's been some results that may have changed your mind. Has your opinion of Melbourne and or Southeast Melbourne changed? You might recall this round, Cairns really embarrassed Melbourne in Cairns, and then Melbourne embarrassed the Phoenix in the throwdown.
Yep.
Anything changed? Anything changed watching those games or seeing those results?
Not really. I just can't figure this league out. I keep trying to think who's better. You know, one team will beat the other team, then that team will get beaten.
Yeah.
Nothing adds up other than that all these teams are much of a muchness and it just happens to be who's playing better on the day. It hasn't changed my overall thinking. I still think Melbourne are pretty much garbage. They got lucky on a Golding, you know.
Heater,
and they lost Brokoff and Adnum, and
Brokoff was a big loss,
and Jochi. So they were missing some serious players.
Yeah, and you know, Melbourne still allowed a lot of points to be conceded by their margin. You know, they still gave up 90 or whatever it was.
Yeah,
5 scored a lot. Yeah, I don't know. I actually, as you know, I quite like Melbourne, and they're the team that's, we talked about the feet break. They're a team that's tipped pretty solidly to be looking different after this break, mm-hmm. with Caroline gone, and you know, depending on what they do, I think that'll actually help them. But in a league, as you said, this league is crazy. It's so up and down. At least with Melbourne, there is a degree of, and I know they've been up and down themselves, but institutionally, they've been a very solid team through the last couple of years. So I think that's actually going to help in this year that's just so random, so peculiar, so strange. Yeah, Southeast Melbourne. Are they trick or treat? They had a lot of injuries, but I still feel this is a trick or treat team. And I think that's a little bit of a symptom of Simon Mitchell and the defense kind of being up and down a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, and he was very pissed. Angry about their defensive performance. But Simon Mitchell has been saying that they want to play defense this year, but there's been no evidence over the last few years that he can really coach a defensive unit. Mm. You know, so at what point does it sort of become just, you're just talking it? And not actually delivering.
Yeah.
Because, to collapse like that and to give that many points away, I mean, geez, that's makes you wonder.
I don't doubt they were fatigued and missing guys. Yeah, 110 to 85.
Yeah, it's a lot of points.
Flip, that is a lot. Holy shit. That is a lot of points. Good gravy. So, Southeast Melbourne, I just can't bet on them with confidence. Now, what was Brokoff missing with? Hamstring?
Yeah, he pulled a hamstring in the warm-ups. Before the game.
I mean, so. I think that's being overly cautious. And to be honest, I don't hate the strategy. He's been known to be pretty injury prone. So,
yeah.
Because he's playing great. His splits are great. He's a big part of what they're doing and was a big part of why they were winning games. He was doing it at both ends for the first time since arriving, which was great to see. But yeah.
It's a big fall off because, you know, without him,
yeah.
suddenly you've got Ruben Tarangi. You know, they don't have Cam Glidden this year.
Yeah, well, that is a drop-off. So hopefully that's just the one game or very few and the break serves them well.
Yeah.
That's all I had to say about them.
I just want to ask you one other thing about that game.
Sure.
They had the commentary team in the stadium.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. It was better, obviously. I didn't feel it was a huge I'll be honest, I didn't feel it was a huge occasion because, okay. And the reason why is it works. It's such an occasion when they're there in New Zealand because it's those guys and you only hear those voices for New Zealand games, home games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the guys that did the commentary, and they're very good, and they were especially good having for the fact of being in the stadium. But it's not like when the game, imagine if the game went up to Cairns and you just got a Cairns feel because it's, you know, Cam Tregar and
...
And you go to Perth and it's Lockie Reed and ... That was the thrill of it before. You kind of had this thing where you dropped in and it's like it had a, yeah.
Different
so it didn't,
vibe.
It didn't have that vibe because it was the same team, but it was obviously an improvement. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted in-stadium commentary teams. I think it's just way better. They miss so much when they're just watching the same vision we are, especially with the way the direction happens sometimes in this competition. They don't know what your turnover happens and they don't see it either. So that kind of stuff, you're always better having a commentary team in the stadium. I agree with you, though. And it's just kind of like, God, the NBL, it gets enough heat about being the NBL, right?
No, this, yeah.
And of course, for you know, the league darling Melbourne United, of course, they get the special treatment. And it just, God, guys, and they'll say, oh, no, but it was for the throwdown. Well, what about the Sunshine Stoush or, you know, like the freeway, whatever that one is, or like the Catalini Cup, you know, between Perth and Adelaide.
Yeah,
like,
come on.
Don't just say, oh, it's special because it's a throwdown. No, it's manufactured and it's very much looking like your MBL.
Well, I mean, there's a practicality to this. JMTV, Maguire Media, it's in South Yarra, which is a stone's throw from Richmond and Jonkan Arena. So there's an element of that there. I get all that. There's a cost involved. Yeah, there's a business. I totally get it. Long story short is I'm not going to poo-poo it too much because it was better. People have been, and that's one thing I did kind of dislike online, where it was like the thing that people have been calling for so long, but because it's, you know, grumble, grumble, it's like, oh, don't do that. You know, you're killing it. So I've never understood why they don't have different teams around the country, even if you did it remotely from different places like this.
Yeah.
Like we do this podcast, we could easily do this live. And have it done over there and there must be a screen in Perth where they can do the game and it's audio. Just patch it in. I don't get it. You can have guys there. Anyway, I've never
understood. Or at the very most, at the moment, they still have a person in the stadium, right? And they throw to that guy like maybe three times. Like it's totally underutilized.
Yeah.
And it's usually just, I'll give us some little, what's the crowd like? Like, I don't care what the crowd's like. Just give us some insight on the game, you know? Is the jungle loud tonight? It's like, you know, can we stop talking about the crowds?
I disagree. That's walking the consumer pathway. You're showing people what it's like to be there. I don't hate that at all.
Yeah, fair enough. But I'm probably starting to get a grumpy old man. Let me just shake my fist. Let me shake my fist at the clouds tonight that stop me from seeing the blood moon. Urgh, clouds.
Oh, you poor thing. It was great. Sorry to rub it in. Looking ahead, we are looking forward to round 7 starting November 17. So, almost 2 weeks away. Am I right? More than 2 weeks away. Sorry. First game is Melbourne, Adelaide, Perth, Phoenix, Tasmania, New Zealand. Whew. Bet the under, everyone. Phoenix, Melbourne. We've got another throwdown.
Ooh. Will they have the commentary back on live?
Followed by the Sunshine Stoush. Brisbane. And then another local, the rivalries, the freeway finale.
Rivalry round. Is that
Sydney Hawks to that's going to be a good game. No. What's the game of the round?
Hang on, are you looking at the right round? What round are you looking at? You're looking at round 8.
Round 7. November 17.
Oh, I've jumped ahead. Sorry, I'm giving you a hard time.
I think the best game is going to be maybe the throwdown. Maybe the throwdown, or depending on who Adelaide make a move on. Perth, South East Melbourne. Taz New Zealand or the throwdown, I like.
Okay.
Will Perth be good after the break, boy?
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to say the throwdown again. That's, you know, straight back.
A full health throwdown. Right. Yeah, for sure. That'd be great.
That'll be a good one.
Absolutely.
But we've got a week off. And, you know, sensing we're starting to get to the end line on this particular podcast, before we get to the end line, I just want to say that I I attended the Perth Jack Jumpers game. And I went in, joined the media conference after the game and asked a couple of questions of both coaches. And so we'll play those now.
Just about the offensive patience that your team's showing, it seems like you have a really good shot and you'll still make the one extra pass for the great shot. How do you instill that in your team?
Well, we talk about good to great all the time, and we talk about getting to the second side of our offense all the time. We do quite a bit of drill work. My assistant coaches are incredible, Jacob Chance and Radford and Jack Fleming, of breaking down our offense and getting us to the second side and trusting that the ball will come back to you. And we do a lot of drill work, especially end of game drill work of this kind of stuff with the ball movement. And it pays off in the long run, and our guys trust it.
And Jack, can you just speak to the selflessness of this group? Because it seems like it almost exudes off the court, you know, and you guys are really in for each other.
Yeah, it's just a fun group of men to play with, and we play together, and that starts off the court. But like, there are some teams that guys don't get along off the court and can form on the court, but we're a group that genuinely has fun. We love hanging out. We have an optional dinner and almost everyone goes. Like, that's just what's going on, because we enjoy being around. We sit together in the airport and we have fun when we're playing basketball, when we're hanging out. And I think that's a very big part of sharing the ball and playing together out there.
Mentioned the ball, Tasmania being able to zip the ball around and find open points. Do you put that down to efficiency in the defensive game plan, or is it an effort thing from the players on the court at the time?
Yeah, look, as a coach, you're always trying to navigate your way through those. You know, when I watch the game again, I'll certainly look and go, well, could I change the defense a little earlier? You know, like, to be honest, I couldn't tell you right now. You think you know what happened, and then you'll go and watch and it'll be completely something else. But I guess to give you an answer is, it worked pretty good in the first 20 minutes. So obviously there was some type of breakdown.
John, would you think about running more offense through to Sean Thomas? It doesn't seem like his number gets called too often, but he seems pretty effective in the block when he gets it.
Yeah.
Something you might look to change up.
Yeah, and the beauty of Tayshaun is he can score, he can distribute. So him being a playmaker for us is for sure something that will, you know, increase or be featured a little more.
That game was a good comeback from Jack Jumpers to take it out.
Yeah, that was a while. That seems like a lifetime
ago,
that game. It
does seem a long time ago now.
Whenever a team plays two in a round, you just totally forget that first one. It just totally drifts away.
Yeah. It was interesting. What I found interesting, that game, so it was a low crowd. It was like, I think official number was 9,805.
That's not. What day was that?
That was a Thursday night.
Okay.
A lot of those 9,000 people had left by the end of the game.
That's
there
not
was
very
a
red
lot
like
of empty seats and a lot of grumpiness, just being out, you know, wandering the halls after the game and sort of hearing people as they're leaving. Just a lot of anger and frustration.
They don't play the way a Perth team should, and they don't play the way a Perth crowd is accustomed to. I think it was Tim Gossage who was saying on Twitter, he's like, calling for people to be sacked every week, it's getting kind of old. But like, it may be, and he has a point there, but at the same time, this is Perth. Excellence. They win all the time. That is how you win. You got to be really – I mean, I have a hard time believing Bendat would stay with a player like Manic ever.
Nah, he wouldn't.
No way. And I applaud their kind of, oh, we're a development and this and that. Like, oh, really? Like, you're going to play that card? Give me a break.
I saw the Wildcats. They tweeted a image of or a bit of a video of John Riley, getting involved in training, and he was shooting better than Brady Manning.
I knew you were going to say that. That's funny. I'm not surprised though. Really good. Really shoot.
He's still got a good stroke.
The other thing I'll say, I remember in the Adelaide game tweeting out something like, "Wow!" I mean, Franks was feasting. He was getting these low catches, two dribbles into Manning, layup, uncontested. And I was like, wow, Cleveland did it as well on a couple of occasions. So, wow, these Cleveland and Franks are a handful. Big trouble for the Wildcats. Anyway, game ends. Wildcats win. Just squeak it out. Cotton stinks it up for three quarters and then has, what, 12 in the last? He's hitting everything.
Yeah, he's
amazing. And then people on Twitter are like, oh, this is a nice one, dickhead. I'm like, They won by 5 points. Those two had 50 combined. If you'd said something at the time, maybe. Like, no, if someone had said, no, I think Cotton's going to go off for 12 points in the fourth and they're going to win, I would have said, okay, I'll eat shit and shut up. But you can't just wait around to the end of the game and be like, you were wrong. Say it at the time, you cocks, you dick.
Oh, he's there fired up now. Well, you can't do that.
You can't, I'm being, you know, you silly people. Come on.
200 minutes of NBL basketball in less than 45 minutes.
Yeah.
We're at like 45 now once you add in the audio that we'll splice in later. So people are sick of us.
Yep, sick of us. I don't know what we'll do during the FIBA break. We may do something, not sure. But, you know, subscribe. And that way, if we do, it'll pop up.
Yeah,
Andrew,
find out.
We had fun. I had fun.
It's excellent fun. You can find me maybe on Twitter at Andrew Kanyon, or if you prefer, you can find me on Mastodon at kanyon@social.lol.
I'm going to cut you off here. We're going to go over time, but I have to say this. What I find funny is everyone now is saying, oh, Elon Musk has taken over Twitter. It's a cesspool. No joke. Before Elon Musk even thought about buying this company, you know, let's say a year ago, I saw someone post a picture of their dog with a birthday hat on and a streamer in its mouth, celebrating its first, second, third birthday, something like that. And in the comments was stuff about Holocaust denial, cussing out someone for dead relatives. So the problem's not Elon Musk, and the problem's not even Twitter itself. The problem is all of you people. Yeah, us included. Where it's the species problem. And then all of a sudden Elon Musk buys this thing and no one wants a part of it. I was like, Twitter was disgusting from day one. What are you talking about? And now it's like, now they've gone too far. They're going to make me pay for a blue tick. And it's like, oh God, give it a rest.
Well, you can find me wherever you're most comfortable.
And you can find me in the middle of the muck and the cesspit that is Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod, and I'll be there gladly sitting there. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you in the near future.
See ya.